We're finishing up the series today, a series called Arsenal. It's been funny, just even the reaction of people just from the community. I had a student that has come on and off to 24 that I saw at one of the gas stations this weekend. And he said, yeah, we were talking about your church this week at school. And I said, you were? And he said, yeah. He said all these kids were like, what kind of church is that? They've got guns on the front of the newspaper and stuff. And he was like, no, you just got to know this church. It's really cool. And they're like, are you sure it's a church and not a cult? And they were like, he's like, yeah, it's good to go. And it is, it's good to go. So anyway, it's been cool to get to teach this series. This series, if you haven't gotten to catch the first 2 weeks, of course, you can go online and catch those, and I highly recommend doing that and burn copies, listen to them in the car or whatever. But the whole idea of this series was coming out of what we did when we were identifying what temptations are and what types of temptation exist. Of course, there's a million different types of temptation, but the three different kinds of temptation which we see in Scripture, where we see Jesus being tempted and we see John talking about later in 1 John, we just wanted to build off of that. You know, I thought, you know, it's great that we have identified what temptations exist, and we even talked a week about who Satan is. And I said, but you know, now we need to talk about equipping ourselves to be able to fight temptation. And so this series was designed as being the arsenal of the things that God has given us to be able to fight against temptation and sin. And so this week we're talking about love. And love is probably the most powerful of all things. It's God-given, it's His. He is love. When we allow ourselves to love other people because He has loved us, that is one of the most amazing things that can happen on this planet. For example, you know, we've got just a lot of people around us in our lives that maybe we don't want to love them. Maybe they're not nice to us. Maybe they've done us wrong. God has called us to love them. In those situations, it doesn't make sense to this world why we would love them. We even see this in the church. If you hadn't been in a church long enough, just, you know, hang around. Eventually somebody will make you mad. You're going to not agree with something. You're going to have an issue with something. It's going to cause you to want to stomp around and, you know, cuss and do whatever you're going to do. But the thing that we've got to remember is that we are called to love. We're called to love. This week, we are talking about love from the approach of a different gun. The first week we talked about the accuracy that we see a rifle have. We talked about that accuracy coming in Scripture. We have Scripture to help us combat sin and temptation. Furthermore, the second week we talked about the personalness that we have to equip ourselves with prayer. We have God's Word and we have prayer. I didn't mean to make gun signs while I'm doing that. I just kind of did that. But, you know, the second week was all about the personalness. And if you want to go with, you know, the personal weapons that you see, like a police officer, like we had Carl on stage last week, his gun, his Aspaton, all those things. Taser, everybody was wanting me to get tasered on stage last week. Thank you for that, by the way. These are weapons that God has given us. And if we'll use them, if we'll use them correctly, what's going to happen is it's going to keep us from falling into temptation. I see so many people, and if you're a newer believer, let me encourage you by saying this. I see so many newer believers that begin a walk with Christ, and it's so exciting in the beginning. But I'm just going to tell you, Satan is going to attack the mess out of you, and you need to be ready for that. And the only way that you can be ready for that is to equip yourself. Be in God's Word. Spend time with Him in prayer. And then today, we're talking about the greatest of them all, which is love. We got a video we're going to watch. Let's check this out, and this will help us drive this home, maybe.
Don't be an idiot.
We're in a controlled environment with trained professionals.
Don't try this at home.
Today we're back with Jeff Crow. Many of you remember Jeff from a couple of weeks ago, and he is out here letting us shoot some of his guns, and he is shooting some of his guns today. Today we're just going to talk to him just real quick about this gun right here. Jeff, what is this gun right here? What is that?
This is a Benelli M1 Super 90 12-gauge semi-automatic shotgun.
12-gauge shotgun. Everybody has heard about the 12-gauge shotgun. Jeff, what
What's the specialty to a shotgun?
The shotgun allows for very rapid target acquisition and getting a round off fast without having to be extremely precise. The round leaves the barrel and then starts opening up and spreads, and it allows you to get on your target and hit it without having to be dead on.
All right, Jeff, we've got a little thing we're going to do right now. We're going to shoot some watermelons.
All right.
Have you shot much watermelon?
Not really.
Have you eaten much watermelon?
Oh, yeah, I've eaten a little bit
of my
time.
Good, good, good. My wife doesn't like watermelon. I don't understand it.
Well, this won't need to be sliced when we're done.
I have a feeling not. We're gonna do something kind of cool because we're going to shoot this with different kinds of guns. Now, we've been talking about the shotgun today, but also we're going to shoot this with a couple other guns today. Just to kind of show the impact of things. This is the first gun that we're going to show you shooting this with in this segment. And Jeff, what is this to?
That's a .22 long rifle. This is for this little pistol here.
That little sucker right there.
This is a Ruger Mark II .22 semi-automatic with a suppressor, actually, so that everybody don't have to wear hearing protection.
That's straight up like James Bond.
James Bond, that's it.
That's what everybody's thinking right now. Yep. Very cool, very cool. So we're gonna shoot with that right there, but then we're also gonna shoot with the shotgun, and we're gonna show some footage of that, and that's here too. So we've got, this is 12 gauge shotgun.
12 gauge.
And then we've got one more gun that we're gonna shoot with, and we're gonna see what kind of damage, what kind of different damage each of these do. And then we've got one more that we're gonna shoot with this. And that's the 50 caliber Barrett that you've got. This is like the most incredible gun in the world, isn't it?
Yeah, a lot of people think so.
Pretty close to it.
Yeah, pretty close to it.
This is amazing. I mean, this thing is the length of my hand.
Yeah.
And so just to kind of give you an idea of the difference in the types of shot that we're going to show of impact here, I think this is really cool. We're gonna check some of this out. Let's go shoot these and see what the outcome of this is.
All right. Don't be an idiot.
We're in a controlled environment with trained professionals.
Don't try this at home.
My wife asked me last night when I was watching that at home. She said, "Did you plan on that being as funny as it is when you're saying that?" No. But it is. And that was just as much fun as it looked like. We spent all afternoon out there shooting, and it was awesome. And I got to shoot that big puppy, and that was pretty cool. Today we're talking about the shotgun approach. We've talked about the accuracy of Scripture, which was the rifle. We've talked about the personal attack, which comes from a handgun or other types of hand weapons, which is prayer and the personalness of that we have with a personal relationship with God. And then the last thing today, we're talking about the shotgun approach. Now, shotgun, just as Jeff talked about right there, when a shotgun shoots, it is not one individual little bullet. It is a spread. It is shooting out what is called shot. And when it shoots out, it spreads out. And so it doesn't just hit one target. It can hit multiple targets if they're close enough in proximity. And so, you know, today we're talking about the shotgun approach because of this passage of Scripture, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19, it says this. This is Paul talking here. It says, "Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I am myself not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but under Christ's law, so as to win those not having law." Check this out. "To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel that I may share in its blessings." We've been called to that. We have been called to be all things to all men. And that is a hard thing to do. And let's just face it, we're not good at it a lot of days. You know, we do our best. We try to be all things to all people, which means that we just do whatever we can to love all individuals that we come in contact with. And if they're not like us, if you know, it doesn't mean that we follow them into sin, but we do whatever it takes to be able to get to love them and share the gospel with them. Paul says right there, I have become all things to all men so that by all things possible, I might save some. And man, I'll tell you, it is hard because when you do this, if you're doing this in your life right now, you know this, and some of you are. Some of you are trying to do this. You're trying to love everybody that's around you. And you can attest to this, that it is hard because we don't see all people follow God. Even after we've been over backwards to love them and do things for them, but what we have to do is we have to try for the sake of some. That passage of Scripture is incredible, and it just drives home to us the need, and we see in Scripture, you know, talk against racism. We see talk about how we should love all nations, and that's true. You know, part of the reasoning behind the 24 church is not that this church, and you've heard me say this, it's not that this church has got it all figured out. It's that this church is fitting in a mold that maybe some other churches aren't in our immediate area. We are partners with those other churches. If they are teaching Jesus Christ, they are our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are teaching the same gospel that they are. The important thing for us to understand is that what God has called us to do is to try to do everything that we can to win as many. Our church would have to always grow. And to that I say yes. That means our church has to always grow. Let me just kind of put this in context for you. A few weeks ago, I got a little behind in doing the contacts that people turn in the offering baskets and stuff at the end of the service. I was a couple weeks behind. Finally got set down one Monday morning, which is generally when I do those, and started calling these people. Start looking through there. In just a matter of a few weeks of me getting behind, there had been 28 families that had come in here, filled out a card, and dropped it in the offering. Those are the ones that filled out cards. And you and I both know some of you aren't even willing to fill out a card. God is giving us one of the most unbelievable opportunities for us to reach people. And what I have to say to that is, you know, it's awesome that 28 families within a matter of just a few weeks came through our doors and were willing to fill out a card. And I don't know how many more didn't. But the thing that I'm wondering is, why don't they always come back? Some come back, obviously. You've been some of those. But they don't always come back, and this is why. We don't always show them love. We think we do. We mean well. Our church has been known since the very beginning of being a church that when you go to it, you feel welcome. But there have been moments, and I think here in the recent past, there have been moments where, without realizing it, we've just been a little more about ourselves. We've not been looking for other people to come walking through the doors, waiting for somebody that we could embrace and say, man, I love you. It's great to have you here. It's so good to see you. What's your name? You say, well, that's Chris. That's the job of a greeter. That's the job of a parker. That's the job of all of us. If you're going to be a part of this church, that is our job. You are joining in the army to create the arsenal of just people that love people. And I hope you're down with that. It means that we've got to be a little more about seeking out others in need. It means that we've got to put others before ourselves. It means that instead of catching up on the whole week in the foyer, maybe with our close friends, that we wait and do that on the phone, and we're looking for those people that are just looking out of place, and they're feeling lost and alone, and the fact that they have come to a church that they don't know anybody is a God thing in of itself. God has called us to pick up that baton and keep running with it. It's huge. It's so huge that in my personal opinion, as the founding pastor of this church, I feel like it is the backbone of who we are. And if it ever were to change, I don't think God would bless our church. It's who God has called us to be. Mark 12 drives this home big time. In Mark 12, we have this passage of Scripture, and this is one of the greatest passages of Scripture ever. It says, Mark 12, verse 28, it says, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? God's asking Jesus, what's the big deal? What's the big driving home thing? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Verse 30, it says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. This is it. This is it. This is what we live for. In my personal opinion, if you are alive and breathing and you know Jesus as your Savior, the only reason that Jesus hasn't brought you home yet is because this. He wants us to do this. Love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind and all your strength. I mean, could there be anything else that we've got to give? No. We're supposed to love God with everything that we've got, with reckless abandon. We're supposed to show God our affection and give him honor and glory and just praise him and thank him and love him. You know, there's a cool thing that happens when we love God like that. I don't know if you've experienced this or not. If you've ever gotten to a point in your walk with the Lord that you're really digging in deep and you're really beginning to really love God and you're finding out how rewarding it is to love God, that when you love God like that, you automatically just find yourself starting to do what? Love others. Because if you love God, then, you know, I mean, even if you just know anything about God, I mean, if you just know just a little bit about God, you know that he loves people. You know that he loves people. And so if we love God, then we must be in love with at least the idea that we're supposed to love people. And generally what happens is when we really love God, we just really love people. You say, Chris, how is this part of the arsenal? Here's how it's part of the arsenal. This is the greatest commandment. You see, if we're loving God and we're loving people, then automatically we are going to have such a greater ability to fight against sin and temptation when it comes our way. Because when we really love God, we're not going to do something that breaks the heart of God. If you're married and you really love your spouse, then when that person that's been flirting with you at work comes along and there comes that opportunity to fall into that temptation, instead of falling into the temptation, you're going to go, no. I really love my spouse. I'm not going to let that happen. Not going to let that happen. You see, when we love God, we don't want to do things that are going to break his heart. And we're going to want to do the things that just fill his heart. Loving God and loving people go hand in hand. You can't do one without the other. You say, well, Chris, you know, people love, you know, each other and all that kind of stuff. You know, well, yeah, you know, they earthly love, whatever, but not like the love that God's given us. You can't love other people the way God has loved you unless you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. So, how do we love? Well, we're supposed to love with everything that we've got. We talked about that. And in that passage of Scripture, when it goes on, you know, Jesus even clarifies with the guy that he's talking to in that passage that it's even more, this is even more important than any sacrifice that we could make for God. I want you to get this, because this is where people that get involved with the church get burned. I see it time and time again, and they get involved and they're not looking for glory, or things happen or whatever, and somebody says something, and somebody, you know, and the next thing you know, they're just like, well, I'm just done with it all. Satan wins, sabotage, hello. And the bottom line of this thing is that in the midst of those things, we've got to see and understand that we have been called to love, and that the sacrifices that we make to God are actually less important than the love that we can show the people who would talk bad about us. Hello. I talked last week about how, you know, one of the things that we've got to do as far as believers is that we've got to be willing to forgive people. I talked about the difference between forgiveness and trust. But, you know, that goes so far and to the point that I mentioned this last week, and somebody said that it was really kind of haunting them a little bit that I said this, but, you know, that they were talking about, you know, that Chris, you said, you know, that we should go and apologize. If we've been holding a grudge against somebody, we need to go and apologize to them for that. And I'm going to say it again. You need to do that. If you've got something that you're holding against somebody, you don't need to let the sun set today without taking care of that. And let's face it, we've all got a little something like that we're holding on to. Somebody has made us mad. Maybe they did you wrong. And maybe you're thinking, you know what? They need to be apologizing to me, not me to them. I'm just telling you, we've been called to love. And anything less of that usually looks like bitterness. And that stuff is the stuff that eats us from the inside out. In your worship guide this morning, you've got the little thing. You pull that out right there. You've got a little fill-in-the-blank thing here. And I just want to talk through this with you real quick. And the very first thing it says, one of the biggest things we have in our arsenal is love. Fill in the blank right there is love. One of the biggest things we have in our arsenal is love. The second thing right there, it says, we are called to love God. Second blank is love. Third blank, we are also called to love each other. Third blank is love. Anybody know what we're talking about today, by the way? Fourth line there, it says, truth is if we love God, He will help us love each other. He will help us love each other. And I just want you to see that. Yeah, we got love, 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 and then help us love. And you're going, Chris, why all of a sudden did you break up the love thing? Because this was looking pretty cool. And, you know, and it's like all four-letter words. And I could say we wrote a lot of four-letter words at church today. But you know, the reason is because we need God to help us love. It's huge. And then furthermore, the next blank says, there's two blanks right there. Love and serving is what those two things are. Love and serving others ought to bring us more joy than anything on the planet. I don't know if you've experienced this. You know, the whole saying, you know, it's much better to give than to receive is so true. And you know why it's true? Is because God made it that way. God made it that way. When we love one another, when we get to serve one another. I won't harp on it, but man, we've got tons of opportunities that we need help with at our church, just serving people. I gotta be honest with you. I stay awake at night thinking about them. I stay awake at night thinking about us needing people to help take care of kids, you know, once a month. I stay awake when I think about a door that goes unmanned on Sunday morning that somebody could walk through without somebody getting just a love on them when they come in the door and say, I'm so glad you're here. What's your name? It's opportunity. We are much more likely, next line, we are much more likely to say no to sin or even temptation when we love God and others. You see, when we're in that frame of mind, when we're seeking our relationship with God, we're so much more likely to just combat sin and temptation. It comes along and we're ready to just swat it because we're ready. We've been training. this morning, you know, this whole greatest commandment, this Jesus bringing home to us that the greatest thing is love, that we should love the Lord our God with everything that we've got, and that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. Something that's kind of cool about that passage of Scripture, and you can also see in Luke chapter 10, which is kind of the same passage in a different gospel. I won't get into all that, but anyway, the whole deal with this is that Jesus is really driving something home here, because he's hanging out in the temple when he's talking about this. Let me talk about the importance of this for a second. Jesus is in the temple, and he's with the religious leaders, and they're asking questions and all this, and they get to this thing. Well, way back in Deuteronomy, we have a very similar passage where Jesus is even doing a little quoting from that. And what he's doing is Jesus is clarifying something. And in Luke chapter 10, if you go read it from that passage, Jesus follows this up with another passage that many of us have heard before called the Good Samaritan. The reason for all this is Jesus is clarifying something that's so important for us to understand. Those religious leaders were taking the Scripture from the Old Testament, and they were translating it as, when you say love your neighbor as yourself, they were taking that and saying that that is love people that are like you. Love one of your own, in fact, is more of the correct deal. And the whole thing for us to understand is that Jesus is driving home that it is not just about loving people that are of our own. It is not just about loving people that look like us, that dress like us, that talk like us, that go to our church, that work with us. We are supposed to love everybody. Everybody the same. You know, just for a little clarity of, you know, what love is, we have this passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians, and this is a great passage, and many of us have heard this, and it's been quoted by 1,000 people and sometimes misquoted, but 1 Corinthians 13, it says this in verse 1. It says, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but I have not love, I gain nothing. And what God is saying here is he's saying, you know what? You may have spiritual gifts. You may be gifted to do great things for the kingdom of God, but if you're not doing it with love, you can forget it. You can have all you want in this world. You can do anything you want to for people, all good things. Give everything you've got to the poor, but if you don't have love, you've got nothing, and you gain nothing. This passage goes on, and this is where love really gets clarified right here, and that this is such a great passage. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, it says this, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It really helps us to clarify what love is and isn't, to hear the isn't part of this, what it's not. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. And right there, I want to just kind of stop for just a second. And I want to just kind of call us out on this. We as people are often guilty of just saying, well, you know, Chris, that's just kind of who I am. I'm just a prideful person. Or I just, you know, I've got a temper. I'm just rude. No. I mean, maybe, yeah. But I'm here to tell you that we've been called to more than those things. And we can't make excuses for sin. It goes on. In verse 6 it says, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Man, this is awesome. And it always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Love never fails. And right there, And those three words, we hear God's power saying, love never fails. And I don't know about you, but there's not many things on this planet that I can say that about. It surpasses all things. And you may be saying, Chris, you know, I really want to love some people in my life. In fact, there's some people that I'm trying to love right now, but they don't want me to love them. And I'm just here to tell you, that's okay. You do what you can. You can't force people into wanting to be loved by you. I know this. It's okay. But you do what you can. And not in a showy way. Not in a, I'm going to go, You do it how God would want you to do it. You just straight up just love them. There's a quote there in your worship guide this morning from Bono, and it says, love will have its day. And man, that quote is great because it has hope in it. It has hope for that in it. It has hope that love will never fail and that love will have its day. Love will have its day. Love will have its day when Christ comes back, and we know that. But I'll tell you what, I would love to see love have its day in our church and in our people everywhere we go. Let me just go on the record for this. I don't want to be known as the church that just has loud music and it's dark and all of these things that people find odd about church, you know, whatever. That's not what I'm interested in being known about. I'm interested in being known as the church that just straight up loves people, no matter what they look like, no matter what they smell like, no matter what they dress like. They can come here, they can be loved, we can show them the love of God and teach them who God is. This passage of scripture that I'm not going to read this morning out of John 21 is a passage that I shared with our greeters and parkers this morning. And this passage of scripture is one of those passages that's just cool. And it's the passage where Simon Peter is seeing Jesus for the first time after Jesus has risen from the dead. And Jesus has come back. And of course, Simon Peter is the one, just to kind of give you a little background, he's the one that denied Christ three times. And Jesus told him beforehand, he said, hey, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Peter's like, no way, man, I got your back. Jesus is like, we'll see about that. Jesus goes, he dies on the cross. His blood is shed for the ultimate love of all mankind. And in the meantime, Peter, every time he's asked if he is one of Jesus' disciples or if he knows Jesus, he denies Jesus three times. Peter and Jesus meet back up after Jesus has risen from the grave. And Peter goes to Jesus, and Jesus looks at Peter and he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he says, of course, Lord, I love you. And he looks at Peter and he says, feed my sheep. And he looks at Peter again, and he says, Peter, do you truly love me? And he says, yes, Jesus, I love you. He says, then feed my sheep. He looks at him one more time and he says, Peter, do you truly love me more than anything? And Peter looks at Jesus and he says, Jesus, you know that I love you with all of my heart. Jesus was reinstating Peter for himself, not for Jesus' sake, but so that Peter could understand that no matter what he'd ever done, Jesus loved him. And all he wanted Peter to do was to go and love others. See, we can't love others unless we love God. But it's one of those things that when we do it, it's a magical thing. And all the scripture talks about it. This week has been a pretty cool week. Last few weeks have been really cool because we've seen the Olympics going on and we've had some pretty cool, crazy stuff going on. And we've seen all these people setting new world records and all this stuff. And, we've seen Michael Phelps. Many of you have seen Michael Phelps. Anybody seen Michael Phelps race in the last couple of weeks, just out of curiosity? When was the last time, everybody put your hands down, when was the last time anybody saw anybody race in the last 2 years? Anybody see anybody race in the last 2 years, or at least watch it on TV? Nobody. Okay, just checking out. Figured that would be the case. You know, it's amazing to me, like something that, you know, people could generally just care less about, like all of a sudden becomes a phenomenon because we've got this guy who's just doing this amazing stuff. And he's just winning medal after medal, and he set world record after world record. I think he set 7 world records and got 8 gold medals. I mean, it's just amazing. And it got me thinking about a guy that I grew up with, and his name was David. And David actually won several medals himself. He was in the Olympics for several years. And I remember growing up with David as a teenager, and I remember when he would win one of these things, don't think he didn't wear it to church. I mean, this brother, he was wearing these things, and he loved wearing these medals around. He loved talking about it and loved all the stuff that he could do. You know, one of the great things about David that I loved about him was that he just loved people. He loved people. I mean, just genuinely loved people. In fact, we've got some pictures of David this morning. I want to just kind of look at those. Let's look at the first picture. There's David. His name's David Wright. And David had Down syndrome. And I got to tell you, man, it was so awesome getting to grow up with this guy. It was so awesome when he would come to church and he would be wearing one of these around his neck. Let's see that next picture. I'm pretty sure this was taken on a retreat where we were actually hanging out as kids. And David right here is sporting one of his medals. Let's go to the next picture. There's some pretty cool pictures in here. This is David right as he graduated from Whites Creek High School. That's David's favorite place. And then I put this picture in just because we all grew up together, and Joey Boykin, who's on staff with us, is the second from the right there, and he's got the fro, and I thought this was great. Yeah. But that's of course, David on the end with his older brother, Steve. And then I think we've got another picture we can just go back to. David died about 6 years ago. David loved people. And he loved people like I yearn for our church to love people. It did not matter who you were. When you walked in the door of our church, it didn't matter if you were bigger than him, if you were smaller than him. You couldn't intimidate David. The only way you could possibly make David upset was to take away his wrestling or his pizza. And David just loved people. There was no conditions to his love for people. He only knew one gear. And it was all full steam ahead. I'm just going to love everybody. I'm going to give everybody a hug. Some people get freaked out about it when they come to church, you know. But it was awesome. And it was awesome getting to hang out with him. And you know what? I wasn't even always the best friend to David. Because I'm an idiot sometimes. But no matter what, David even always still loved me. Because David only knew one kind of love. David only had one love.